Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 519. This is Kevin DeFrango. Across the interwebs from me is Jeremy Mays. What is going on, good sir?
Hey, what's up, Pally? How are you?
It's been pretty crazy. That 12-hour trip passing back through Charlotte, that was the first time I've driven that long in quite some time. And I think the last time I drove that far, it was also leaving your house, except we were lost that time. And this time, we actually knew where the fuck we were going. It just took a long time.
Yeah, I know you said you didn't want to come in late the one night, but I'm like, all right, I don't even know. I guess, what is it, 7 hours from here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then, like, Detroit would be another three, I believe,
from there. Yeah, it's 2.5, 3 to get to Detroit.
Yeah, it's still 10 hours. Like, all right, I'm just going to buy a plane ticket. I'll do it on credit for no interest. I have no desire. We did a three-day trip, or was it four? We went down to the Outback Bowl. We drove from Charlotte to Greenville, slept, woke up at like 4 in the morning, left Greenville to drive down to Tampa. It took us 11 hours, and I'm like, I never want to do this again.
Yeah.
Knowing, and I didn't even drive. I was just in the car. Like, this sucks. We could have been here 30 minutes or whatever, an hour.
Yeah, it would have worked out a lot better had we just, I probably could have stayed the whole week, but I didn't want to because of the new job situation. But it seems like they would have been completely fine with that. It certainly would have saved me some hassle with the job that I'm working on. But,
yes.
12 hours is a little tough. Like, because I think I've mentioned it on the shows that when we talk about going to WrestleMania. In general, if it's more than an 8-hour drive, I'm buying a plane ticket just because it's just tough to do more than 8 hours.
Yeah, it's, I mean, this is like old man stuff now, but my hip starts hurting after a while. And what the fuck? Do you still have that same show on, by the way?
Oh, yes. Vlad's and
the guy Palers. Cutting a pig with a sword?
Oh, what? My feed is a little bit behind then.
Okay.
But yeah, I do see him doing that now.
I was looking at something else, I looked up, and this guy's just... he just cut a pig, like a dead pig, everybody. A dead pig in half. We're watching a show called Ancient Assassins.
Yeah, I think he's demonstrating how the sword that they used cuts.
Yeah, well, because it did, effective.
Yeah, I mean, it did kind of depend upon the type of blade as to how a sword would get used.
Jesus.
I know that much without even really watching this program.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems pretty brainless on that aspect, but
yeah.
Well, it was nice seeing you. I know it sounds like there's something you say at the end of a show, but it was good seeing you guys. So, and I guess Melissa's tired of eating barbecue.
Yeah, I was tired of eating barbecue too. It was a little tough. When you do 3 barbecue joints within about a 48-hour window, it's, not 48 hours, because I guess the first one was on the trip down to Charlotte there, but 3 of them in about 4 days was, in back-to-back days, doing Tuesday night and then Wednesday lunch, I think that one was what really did it in. We needed a little more breathing room between barbecue joints.
I wholeheartedly disagree with that. So there's always variations, but yeah.
Everything did taste different. Like all 3 places, Millstone in Logan, Ohio, and then Southern Soul on St. Simon's Island, and the pecan wood there at what was the name? Smokies? What was the name of the place there at in Charlotte that
Charlotte?
We went to?
Oh, McCoy's.
McCoy's.
Yes.
Yeah, the pecan wood definitely made the flavoring different than anyone else's too. Because I don't think anyone else used that wood. And it definitely has kind of a distinct flavor to it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. There's, well, the one place, we were supposed to talk about this, but there's one place, oh, no, Bluegrass Barbecue. It was this little hole-in-the-wall joint near where we used to play softball. And it literally looked like just a shed you bought from Lowe's or something. And they used, I think it was pecan and I think peach or something like that.
Oh,
oh my God. It was idiotic. I never had anything that good. I still haven't had, when it comes to smoked chicken, I still have not had anything as good as that.
Oh, gotcha.
So every time I get smoked chicken, I'm like, I know this will be good, but it's not going to be what I want. So. And then they moved like to the middle of nowhere in South Carolina. So I was like, oh, damn. But I guess they're doing much better business there, so more power to them. But,
yeah, good for them.
Yeah, so.
But on said trip here, which we're going down memory lane about, we did happen to watch some professional wrestling.
Yes.
And it was that your first time watching Absolute Intense Wrestling?
I almost said it absolutely was. Yes, yes, this is the first time. I had heard about it. I mean, you had mentioned it, and I've seen other people talking about it, but, I mean, I have no outlet to watch it. So,
oh.
I didn't know anything about it, really, except that it was in Cleveland. And is this the one, you mentioned it, but you said this is, Johnny Gargano was in this?
Yeah, because I went up for his last show, and I can't believe it was 4 years ago. That because when NXT came here to Columbus, he said something about, oh, it's been, you know, 4 years that I've made this visit. And I'm like, damn, man. So I went to, I went up to his farewell show up there because I never went, I guess I kind of forget when exactly they started, but I think it was after we both moved out of Kent. But they have been around. Yeah, they've been kind of around a while because this is Absolution 14. So, I mean, it's been 14 years at least.
Okay, I didn't know if that was just like a made-up number.
No.
Like if like their pay-per-views used to be called Absolution all the time.
I believe this is now supposed to be kind of their WrestleMania of cards.
Okay. I got that impression.
Yeah, I mean, it was well, they definitely had their fair share of names, at least indie names on the on the show. And some of it I guess kind of leads perfectly into the intro. Or at least the first match, is that some of the AEW guys, they have to be wrapping up their indie dates now. And we got MJF in his final match at AIW right off the bat with someone that I've been kind of inconsistent in my NXT watching, so I did not realize that Big Twan Tucker had gotten onto NXT TV for a couple of weeks.
Yep. Yeah. So when he showed up and he was facing MJF, I was like, wait a minute. That's the dude from, that was Johnny Gargano's boy on NXT. And you're like, huh? Like, yeah. It was just funny to see him. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly, and just no offense to him, I thought it was just like some guy. I had no idea
that he was a wrestler.
He was a real wrestler. Yeah. So
yeah, because I believe if I remember correctly on their the card is going to change podcast. I believe that Big Twan was one of the last guys to be trained by Gargano, or at least partially trained by Gargano. before he moved to NXT. Because okay. He was there, him and Candice LeRae were their trainers.
Okay.
There. So, yeah. It did make sense to kind of use him as foil is not going to be the right word that I'm looking for, and I'm not quite sure what it is, but, you know, I don't know how they presented him exactly on NXT. Was he just a friend of Gargano's?
He was a student. It was during the Adam Cole buildup, so Cole goes in. Did you see NXT this weekend, by the chance?
I did see the takeover.
Okay. So, you know, all the stuff they had out there about the school and all that, he was one of the guys that, you know, was, you know, Adam Cole got in his face. Well, then they brought him out on TV because Cole was saying anybody can come out here, blah, blah, blah. So Tuan comes out and he goes, oh, so you're by yourself? He's like, well, and then that's when Johnny Gargano came out, made his return.
Oh, so, okay.
Oh, and by the way, as a quick aside, did you, I guess I talked about the Crystal Fast, but this NXT taping, like, the last few shows were kind of weird. And I guess, as it turns out, they recorded 6 weeks of TV in a row.
Oh, wow.
They recorded 6 weeks in one taping.
Oof.
So that's why, like, people were barely on, and it was just, it was a weird flow to this particular set of tapings, so.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and TakeOver more than made up for it, so.
Yeah, I mean, TakeOver was excellent, as usual.
Yeah, but no, so, yeah, so seeing Tuan out there, that, I was like, oh, okay, cool, good for this guy. And then, knowing that he was fighting MJF, I was like, wait, what? Wait, hang on a second, because, I mean, MJF's basically going to be, like, the main, like, besides Jericho, but the main heel on AEW TV. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it does in some ways show, well, I mean, you can just say from age, because I think MJF is, what, 22 or 23?
Yeah, he's not old. Dude. He's not old.
Like, I mean, he really hasn't been around the indie scene all that long, nor he really could have been considering his age.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's still pretty young, but I mean, obviously I feel like he's, I agree with AEW that he has his stuff together enough that he should do well on TV. So, yeah, but Tuan was his valet, at least for a short time period.
Okay.
And I guess that's the other thing, is that I kind of keep track of them more through the podcast than I do. And I've kind of mentioned it with the times that we have gone up to see them in Cleveland. It's just a little bit of a hassle. It'll be a little bit easier now because I get off half days on Fridays. Because they usually do their shows, they started doing them on Fridays because they were having a hard time booking people on Saturdays.
Okay, that makes sense.
And it's just really hard, and that's why the show, like, I knew that we wouldn't watch it, you know, since we drove down Friday night. But yeah, it's just kind of, it was tough to get up, it's tough to get up there, and then, honestly, by the time that show is over, you've got to stay in Cleveland at that point.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's just too late, like, because it has been nice, and they've admitted that they've tried to start on time, you know, start on time, because they were pretty bad about start times previously.
Oh, okay. Well, shit, I mean, we saw this show, I guess, I don't know if it started on time or not, but when we got back and we saw it was 4 hours long, it was like, what? Was it 4 or 5 hours? It was ridiculous.
It was four. We were a little surprised, and then, and that's why we ended up skipping the one part of Tim Donst versus Dominic Greeny, because they had, I don't know who they were buying time for in the main event, or for the second half of the card, but they kind of had an extended intermission to buy time for someone. Like, I don't feel like they ever really mentioned, and plus, since we tried to fast forward through it, we kind of buzzed through who it might have been also.
Yeah, now, we'll make it clear, we had to fast forward it because Kevin had to leave. So, we had to get the show done so we could go spend time with the family and that. So, I don't like fast forwarding through that stuff, but it almost sounds like they're waiting on Tom Lawler. That's a guess, so I could be absolutely wrong, but they kept talking about how getting travel there has always been so bad. And I was like, huh? It's Cleveland in the summer. I mean, what's the worst that could be happening?
I guess there might have been a problem. I don't know where Lawler comes from.
Nah, nor do I. Wait a minute. Joey Janela missed too.
Yeah, and Janela missed also, which ended up changing the card a little bit. And he actually is going to end up doing another show for them, but that's another one where it's kind of more of a local show, and that's going to be on a Thursday night, so that is definitely not happening for me.
What weird days to have shows.
Well, it's kind of like, I feel like it's that MAC, Mid-American Conference thing, where they're like, oh, fuck it, we can't get people to watch our football games on Saturday, let's pick a Wednesday. And then it becomes
Tuesday and Wednesday.
Tuesday and Wednesday. Well, actually, I feel like they did Wednesday at first, and then everyone else is like, oh, shit, that's kind of a good idea. We should start doing games on Wednesdays every now and again, too. And the Mac is like, oh, fuck. Well, now we're not going to get viewing again. We need to move to Tuesday night. And I kind of feel like, like I said, like, I know that that's why they moved to Fridays, and I think that might even be part of the reason to do Thursdays sometimes. And plus, I think that they're trying to use more of their own talent sometimes on these Wednesday shows, rather than bringing in some of the bigger names that they can get on Fridays. So I do think it's kind of a two-pronged kind of situation going on there.
Yeah, and also, like, it's talent's not cheap. So, I mean, especially, like, I'm guessing Janela could probably charge a pretty penny now, you know, because he's got, you know, the AEW contract. And then I don't know how much Mance Warner would charge, because, I mean, he's an MLW. But he's, like, to me, at least, he's one of those still rising indie guys. Even though I know he's on TV, he's in MLW and all that stuff. He still seems like a guy on the rise, not a guy that would command, you know, a big price or any of that sort of thing. The reason I'm bringing that up is just because of the Thursday shows, Friday shows, that sort of thing. Which a Friday show is still not bad. Thursday's a little weird for an indie wrestling show, as far as I can tell.
Oh, but, yeah.
You know,
yeah, I don't think they. Yeah, I don't think they do those as much, and I think that. That one I also feel like is a Janela's like, I need to make up the travel faux pas to you. And that date just happens to work for him for whatever reason.
Good. That's a good guy then, because...
At least that's what I'm assuming. I'm not sure that I've heard officially one way or the other, but it kind of feels that way. Because I don't feel like they do too many Thursdays. Because usually, like, when Chris and I reviewed... the JT Lightning Memorial, that's a Friday-Saturday situation for them, because they, you know, they do a round one Friday night, and then the other rounds on Saturday.
Okay.
So I do feel like they tend to, you know, if it's usually Thursday, it's mostly local talent, and they're probably at a slightly smaller venue, but I guess part of their problem is they said that the Odeon is pretty much the only place that they can go right now.
Oh, wow. That's weird.
Yeah, because when they lost at Mount Carmel, they had a hard time trying to find another venue. Like, they normally, which I think is pretty smart, tend to take off January and February because weather is trash in Cleveland during those months.
Well, also, people aren't... I mean, that's like a business thing. People don't do as much in January and February either. So,
I think that there's a good reason to skip out on those months.
yes, especially with especially with the Browns going to the Super Bowl, you don't want to compete with that this year. So, wait till week six, and that thing, the whole thing's gonna blow up. Anyways, but yeah, but no, so yeah, so to go back to the original part, no, I was not familiar with it. I had no idea that most of them were death matches. So.
Yeah, and that was kind of another funny thing that John Thorne did address on the podcast, because the Nick Gage Zach Thomas match, I believe. He was yeah, it was Zach Thomas. He was expecting that to be a regular match, and then Nick Gage dropped a death match challenge to Thomas on Twitter at some point. Thorne's like, man, we have a lot of kind of hardcore matches here on this show now.
Yeah, I pointed that out too.
They would have had a lot even without that one, to be completely honest with you.
Yes.
Because I think it still would have been, because the Intense title is always a hardcore match. I think that that's just part of the title. And yeah, a bunkhouse brawl with the aforementioned Mance Warner and Jock Sampson. And I'm trying to think, wasn't there? Oh yeah, the submitter surrender match with Donst and Greeny. The only rule, it's kind of like an I quit match, essentially. I guess it's a little bit of a I quit slash submission match. So any rule, there's no real rules in that. So there were what is that, three matches just out of the gate on.
Well, don't forget Swoggle and Janela was supposed to be.
Oh yeah, that was
So
too.
that one. I don't think, well, I mean, it wasn't technically a death match, but I don't think Friedman and Twan Tucker used weapons of any sort.
No, they did not.
And then Lawler and Kingston didn't.
Yeah, correct.
And the two tag teams didn't. The two tag matches, excuse me, didn't. So I think every other match on there was, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was a good chunk of a large portion of the singles matches were hardcore of some variety.
Yeah, and well, you say hardcore, I say death matches, because that's what they're supposed to be, I guess. And
I guess I feel like death match, you need to go even further. Like, I feel like if you don't use light tubes these days, you're not really trying for a death match.
light tubes, is that it, or is it doors?
Yeah.
Because, all right, so I guess you kind of see a theme coming here. I'm not a big fan of hardcore and death matches anymore, because they're just, I don't know, it's like you can only see so many. So when we start watching the show, I'm like, oh no, not another one. Oh god, another one. And then they'd have a regular tag match. Like, well, that was pretty good. Oh my god, another one, then another. And then I started realizing I'm actually enjoying myself pretty much watching this stuff. Like, I don't know, maybe I turn on the analytical side, but like I'm still confused by two things we saw. And I wish I could remember it was I think it was Nick Gage and Zach Thomas. Is that where they got the skewers out and jammed him into his forehead?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know how they pulled that off, because he wasn't bleeding.
Oh,
Like, the way
yeah.
that thing looked, he should have been bleeding like crazy when they fell out of his forehead.
Yeah, and your head bleeds so damn easily. It was a
Yeah.
little shocking that that did not happen.
Yeah, so like I hated it when he did that. I was like, oh, that's just flat gross. And then he wasn't bleeding. I'm like, oh, so they're pretty smart about it and gimmicked it. Okay, cool, nice work. And then the other one, which proved out to be way safer looking than I expected, was the forks, the plastic fork spot.
Oh, right.
Which I think that was the same match, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was kind of funny that probably, you probably could have called that one the most violent out of the group.
Yeah.
I think just because in Jock Sampson versus Mance Warner, Jock had the help of the Duke, so it was more kind of a two-on-one type of a beating than they did use some typical kind of, since it was called a bunkhouse brawl, I do feel like they brought out a bull rope and a cowbell at some juncture. So they did do a pretty good job of like WWE-ing it and trying to stay away from each other's gimmicks, even though they had that many hardcore matches on the on the docket.
I mean, you were saying bunkhouse brawl. They actually brought out Bunkhouse Buck, which was a shock. And as I was telling you, we were watching, that man was old the first time I saw him. He looked old, but back then, he still looks the same. Like, that's a compliment, by the way, because he just looked like a little badass old dude. And, like, good God.
Yeah, it was shocking how young he, I'm fine with saying how young he looked.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember
when we were kids, he looked old. He looks the exact same. So by proxy, that means he looks young now. Because he should look like a withered apple by now. Or a dried apple, not withered. Not the same thing. But that's what he should look like by now, and he doesn't. God bless him, man. I don't know what hard living you did, or I really don't know much about Bunkhouse Buck.
No, I definitely remember seeing him at some juncture, so it was quite surprising. Like, he is definitely a person that I would not have pulled out of my memory banks. I know that John Thorne kind of likes to pull those kind of oddball slash curiosity acts out of the blue.
Well, Bunkhouse always, to me, was always like, well, we can't get Terry Funk, so we're going to get this guy instead. Right or wrong, that's how I always saw it. And
yeah.
So in this, it was like, it was no different in this case. So I was like, oh, well, Terry Funk's retired, so we're just going to get Bunkhouse Buck instead. And there you go. So
yeah, well, and thank God Terry Funk's actually retired this time.
Yes, that's for damn sure. So,
oh, man. But I guess we've kind of been all over the place about the matches and the card. I know one thing that I was surprised by, and it wasn't something that I ran by Chris last night and should have. I don't remember them having video packages on the JT Lightning Memorial show, because that was the first one that they did on Fight TV. So this is only the second one, and I know that, you know, it's another one where they kind of want to make sure they get X number of sales, because that does cost evidently a nice chunk of money to run that. And I guess I'm not completely surprised. You know, it's a live stream, which is different than you know, other forms of viewing, I guess.
Right. Yeah, yeah. No, okay, so we watched it recorded. So we bought it, and we didn't have any problems with the feed at all. Like, I don't know if the rewind fast forward feature, if that was just the Roku, because it was an older version of Roku than, you know, what I have in the other room. So I don't know if that was the case, but if, like, that's the biggest problem we had, I thought this was pretty solid. I mean, we had no problems ordering off Fight. This is the first time I've gotten some off of the Fight Network. So, or just Fight, I guess, but
Yeah, and I didn't really have any problems the first go-around. And I guess that's another one, though, that I... Oh, you know what? I watched Saturday Night Live for the most part, but ended up going back to watch Friday night so that Chris and I could do a full show.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't have any problems on Saturday night. Now, it just might be that, it's one of those things I feel like there's probably too many people on the WWE network, and that's what bogs things down. Of course, I don't know why they just don't adjust to that, knowing that they're going to get that kind of an overload during those events. But I guess that's for this show. It's neither here nor there.
Yeah. Well, that's what I wonder. Like, and this isn't a knock, obviously. I will repeatedly say I enjoyed this show. And
Oh.
I enjoyed the show. I guess maybe I should save this for the end, but I enjoyed the show, and it made me more interested in AIW. Like, okay, because one of the guys was Colin Delaney, which I heard, I knew he was still wrestling, but I had no idea it was an AEW. God damn it, I'm sorry. AIW. And, well, he looks a lot different.
Yeah, he looks like he's in way better shape than he was back in his WWE days.
I got through. He had to have been a kid when he was there.
Oh.
You know?
He definitely looked very young. I guess I have not really looked up what his age is, and I suppose I could do that as we talk here. But yeah, he had to have been pretty young. I mean, just from looking at his I'm just judging by his face, he looked very, very young.
Yeah. I was a grizzled young veteran.
But
Yeah,
yeah,
but no, so like
Colin
I don't
De
know.
Colin Delaney and his partner Cheech did have a good match with PME, the Philly Merino Experience. And it's one of those things. Oh my God, he's only 32 right now.
Oh, wait,
And
so he, what was he, 17 when he was in ECW, WWE?
a WWE stint was 07 to 08.
Wow, goddamn, that seemed like he was there a lot longer, to be honest. All right.
Yeah,
I mean, for such a bit guy, you know?
oh dear. Oh, WWE Enhancement Talent appearances 2017 to 2018. I guess I don't remember him being Enhancement Talent that recently.
Yeah. Unless he made a quick appearance, we didn't realize it.
Yeah, house show or something. I mean, I definitely did not realize at the time that Samoa Joe was pushing around MJF.
Yes. That clip, as I showed you, still cracks me up. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised that that happens, because I do see enough of, in the AIW talent, I do feel like they pop up when they kind of need people in that area.
Yeah, so, all right, I should have asked this earlier. But like, what's the origins of AIW? Like, was it because Prime was gone, or? But I thought I remember them wrestling being there anyways.
Yeah, it was. They were concurrent at times.
Interesting. Just
Yeah.
interesting that the Cleveland area had two independent leagues, you know?
Well, and it's because I know that AIW came out of another league. Because John Thorne and Chandler Biggins, who is no longer with us, oh no, you know what? Chandler didn't even jump in until after it was AIW, I believe.
Oh, okay. What, I'm sorry, who were you being serious? Like, he's no longer with us? Like, is he passed
Oh,
away?
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they started their podcast maybe 3 years ago. And about a year into it, he passed away from, and I'm trying to remember if they ever ended up mentioning what it was from or not.
Oh, okay. Well, that sucks.
Yeah, because Thorne was wondering if he was going to wrap it up or not, because he had always pretty much run it with Biggins.
Wow.
But he's decided to kind of keep on going, because I guess his Biggin's mom's like, nah, he would have wanted you. He's like, he would have kept on going without you. Like, it's the right, you know, it's the right thing to do. You guys loved wrestling and all that other stuff, so he's kept going for those reasons.
Oh, okay. That's cool. At least mom was smart about it. So.
They've been around. It's been around for quite some time, because I guess 14 years would have put us out of the Kent area for a solid decade.
Long ago, yes.
So if it is only 14 years, like, yeah, we definitely were out of there. And yeah, it like I've already said that it's kind of hard to get up there. Like, we don't mind going up there every now and again, but it's a little bit of a production. And yeah, because I guess I did not realize, because they called it Gargano's home promotion when he was getting ready to leave. And I was just like, oh, I guess I always thought, because Prime was on TV, well, I always thought of that as his home promotion.
I thought Prime was the one that Gargano's dad started. Like he was like an unofficial money guy for it.
And he
That was always what I heard, so.
and he might have, because I remember Joe Dombrowski ended up buying it from someone, but I don't remember who that someone was.
Okay. Because I know didn't someone there that was like a Rob Feinstein sort of thing, where it was like he did some dirty shit, and that's why Prime was gone. Yeah, or Pro Wrestling Ohio was gone. Excuse me. Then it became Prime.
Yeah, I
That's
might
a
be able
good
to
thing.
find that back in the archives somewhere on Google Docs, some type of review or write up about that. But I'm not sure that I feel like looking for it, to be completely honest with you.
That's fine. But to get into, I guess we should get into this card at least.
Well, we've kind of been in the card, out of the card, around the card.
I guess this is kind of like, well, I guess it'd be better or be easier if I was way more familiar with the products. Like I said, my knowledge of this comes from this show, and then also like having that old history of watching Prime, or like, you know, watching those shows from the Cleveland area. That's where I was going. That's where I was going.
Oh.
So having like that option, you know, you do get kind of a, I don't know, it's a little easier to go all over the place because there's a lot of history for Cleveland wrestling, I guess. You know?
Yeah, it's pretty weird because I know that I've brought that up to a couple of the guys here locally, that just A, from our experience of going to wrestling shows when we were at in Kent, we always found terrible crowds. Like,
Yes.
I'll never forget us going to, because which pay-per-view was that the Terry Invitational Tournament finals was?
Was that a No Mercy or a No Way Out, maybe?
Yeah, it might have been No Way Out. Whatever, whichever show that was, I just remember yelling at the crowd around us because, like, all of us are going bonkers for all the spots, but everyone else is like sitting on their hands, and we're like, what the fuck? So that's why I was always a little bit surprised that there were a not just one, but a number of, because John Thorne talks all the time about not liking some of the promoters that were in town. So it's just like, hold on, like, you guys seem to shit on the big time wrestling. Like, how did this little wrestling get supported for multiple leagues? Like, I'm still a little confused on that, to be completely honest with you. And
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, whenever we watched, like, you know, Prime, whatever, it wasn't overly crowded. Like, I know, like, the show you went to, I can't remember what was the name of their WrestleMania of sort.
oh my gosh.
Yeah,
Resolution.
that's it. Yeah, like that had some people, but it wasn't like tens of thousands or like 5,000 people or anything.
Yeah,
at least,
I mean,
at least it looked like from the crowd. So
I would say maybe a couple thousand.
Okay, that's pretty good then. So
you know, maybe moving up to 2,500 at most, because I mean, it wasn't. I don't know what it's called now, but Nautica Pavilion at the time, or at least when we were around there.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's named. Oh, I think it's Jacobs Pavilion now. Because I think they got booted from the stadium and they got downgraded to that thing. But yeah, and I don't think they, because even that when Gargano left, they were still at Mount Carmel, which is a church on the west side there, and they were in their gymnasium.
Yeah, yeah, that's what you're telling me. I was like, hang on a second. This stuff was in a church?
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah. My favorite was, and not that the wife is prudish, but she was not a fan of the Jollyville Fuckets.
Who the hell was that?
They were a tag team, and obviously the word fuck it comes up a lot.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like. Okay, and yeah, but that's and I know, like, I even made the joke, well, I think the church has probably got a few other things they can worry about more about what goes on inside than a wrestling show, but but yeah, no, it's,
yeah,
oh,
they
so,
like any Catholic church, they like money, well, until recently.
Well, what cracked me up was that this show was at the Odeon.
Yeah, and it's one, they've said on the show that it's the only venue that will have them now.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's kind
of
weird.
Because of the hardcore nature of it?
I don't know. They did say that they kind of had a hookup, who kind of talked the new owner of the Odeon into it. And I don't know how new the new owner is, honestly, but it is, it's kind of funny. The Flats has been like completely redone from when we used to go down there, but the Odeon is the same exact building. You know, nothing has been done with that.
And that's fine, man, because honestly, there was nothing wrong with it. It had a good sound system, and it was a rectangle with a stage at the end. Like,
With a balcony.
I totally forgot about that balcony. That's right.
Yeah, a lot of a lot of people have not forgotten about that balcony because of of Josh Bishop and Matt Justice from a couple of months ago diving off of it.
Yeah, that was impressive. And then they tried redoing that a tad bit, but he threw somebody off of it.
What's his name? Wes Barkley was the one that, he took a bump onto a group of people this time. I knew that it would have been kind of silly to go back to the well again, to be completely honest with you, for that match. So I'm glad that they didn't. And I agree with you, like, it kind of seems like a perfect venue for wrestling. Because it does seem even better than the setup, like, down here for NXT, they're in a very similar kind of a building, at least, in that sense. It's much newer, but it's a similar setup where there's a pit, there's a stage, and, you know, there's a little bit of a balcony, but I think just because the Odeon is a rectangle, it works better.
Mm-hmm.
Or like almost a perfect square. It doesn't have an actual pit to it.
Yes.
You know, it's just one level. And that, I think that probably helps out more than anything. So, it's a good venue. It's kind of, they kind of wanted to stay somewhere near the west side too, because Mount Carmel was on the on the west side. It's a little bit, you know, I guess that's still downtown, even, or Flats, whatever you exactly want to call it. So it's not technically West Side.
Yeah.
It's still kind of close enough.
Well, yeah, it was funny because Odin didn't look like it changed at all either. Now, if there is one drawback to this, and I mentioned it during the show when we were watching, I was not a fan of the lighting.
Yeah.
I thought it just made it hard to see.
That was one thing that, and that's something else I probably should ask Chris about. Honestly, like, I don't remember there being lighting problems on the other show, but especially during that first half of the show, you could not see absolute intense wrestling on the mat at all.
Right.
And it was probably because they have a blue mat with a blue logo, and the light was blue.
Yes. And they actually, wait, yeah, it was during when the matches were over, right? That was when they would put up, like, the house lights.
Right.
So it would be white, and then you could read everything. And you could see better as well. And I was like, man, this is really what it needs to be. And then they would just go back to that black background, you know, the cam lights are off, and it bring up like that soft blue lighting. And I know they were going for an atmosphere with it, but I thought it hurt. Like we don't need to see absolute intense wrestling the whole time. Like, I get it, but you couldn't, like, it was dark enough. You could see the wrestlers, but you couldn't, like, really get into details because it was so dark, unless they wanted it that way because of how violent some of the matches were. I don't know.
Well, like I said, I felt like they kind of changed up the lighting. I think they might have realized that things were looking a little too washed out and changed things up for the second half of the show. But I do think that those are kind of those errors that you make when you're first doing something like this that I hope will get resolved as they keep on. I hope they keep on doing these shows because, again, it's just easier to watch them this way than it is to watch it. And I mean, we've talked about it a lot, the accessibility of wrestling these days. Like, it's something that I'd like to get to, and I obviously know because it kind of used to be our stomping grounds up in that area. And, yeah, it's just not easy to travel sometimes. It's fun to go up there, but, yeah, hopefully, again, like, the production. Well, and did I mention that? Because the video package at the front of the show, I don't remember that one previously. So there were some video positives on this show, and there were some video negatives on this show. And hopefully, again, like, if they keep on doing them, I would hope if they're serious about this that things will start to look a little bit better. I think that there's always going to be something of a limit to how things look just because, you know, they're never going to be a big budget company.
No.
Or at least I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, unless something. Okay. And here's the problem right now with indie wrestling. Like, everyone's saying it's thriving and this and this. And it's like, well, it was. And I'm not saying it's going downhill. But the indicators are kind of there because we had this problem with WCW and WWE were around. Then ECW, then they all went away. That's kind of how independent wrestling came back. Because the big boys, there's only one. Well, now you got AEW, and you've got WWE, who are just basically scooping. I mean, look at NXT, for God's sake. I mean, that's a lot of these indie wrestlers are getting scooped up. So, yeah, it's like when you were mentioning that they wanted to use their own talent. I was like, yeah, good for them, man. But I don't see anyone getting bigger for quite a while now. I mean, although Impact apparently is almost sold out, their Bound for Glory show. I was like, oh, that's impressive. That's only 500 seats. I was like,
okay, oh, so, really?
Yeah. And it's impact, man.
I'm just saying that just because that show that I went to with Sam's Town Casino, that's another one where I'd say that maybe it's 3 to 5,000 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they had a couple thousand in there. I don't know why you'd be doing a venue that's 500. I mean, I do kind of realize, like, yeah, they've just kind of screwed the pooch. You know, and people still went out of there, too. Like, that's just got to be an indictment of your product. Like, I know that you've watched them some on Twitch, but I guess I want another platform to watch something on. I'd prefer a wrestling company's own website at this juncture. Or even something like a Fight TV, than those shenanigans.
Right.
But I suppose access, I probably could.
I was trying to figure out how to say this. Like, the access is there, and then I don't know. Like, I don't like. I know I just got done like saying the lighting was bad.
Right.
But I don't like TNA's presentation. Like, the matches are fine. Like, the ones I've seen, they're fine. But I don't like the presentation for some reason. I don't know why. But anyways, we're not here to talk about them. But, no, like, that was the one thing going back on this. And sometimes the camera shot lingered way too long. There were a lot of times where it should have been going to something else. Or go to a different angle, which, I mean, I know this isn't, it is a professionally run production, but it's not to a level of, like, what you're going to see on TNT or USA or Fox or any of that stuff, I mean, especially being live. No. But, I mean, there were clearly spots where they were calling spots, or they weren't doing anything, for that matter. Which is where, you know, you just pull back. You're like, okay, let's pull back, see what's going on, this and this. And it just wasn't happening. I was like, damn, go somewhere else. There were sometimes we actually lost the action because they forgot to change the camera angle.
Yeah. So, and I guess it's...
stuff like that drives me crazy. Like, come on, guys.
Yeah, that's something that would seem to be intuitive that hopefully you wouldn't need to learn from your mistakes. But yeah, I'll go back to the hopefully they learn from it situation.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who they use for like their for the production. So, you know, it could be a different team every time. It could be someone that's never covered wrestling, so they don't actually know what the fuck they're doing. I mean,
oh,
all that stuff works sometimes. You know.
Yeah, so. I'm not completely sure either. I feel like they've mentioned a little bit of it on the podcast, but I don't remember all of everything that gets said on there either.
All right. So I think that's That's all my negatives on this. Other than, you know, some just the deathmatch stuff, but whatever. But like I said, I'm going to keep saying this. It won me over. And I started having a good time watching the show, and then it was over. I was like, well, shit. All right, well.
Yeah, honestly, for being 4 hours, it ran pretty smooth. And I was kind of talking to Chris about this a little bit last night, about the WWE show, or about SummerSlam, that none of the matches were, like, super long on SummerSlam, and I feel like almost all the indies kind of rely on that. Like, you have a match, you get in, you get out, and you move along to the next thing. So even though there's like 14 matches, or I don't know how many matches were on this card, but there were a decent chunk of matches. Because none of them are too long, it moves along pretty quickly. And that is pretty nice. Like, I do like that. To me, that's kind of a typical indie setup where matches are like 7 to 10 minutes long, So they don't end up overstaying their welcome, and it doesn't expose someone who shouldn't be going that long.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. And yeah, I, nothing, even like the Hornswoggle, is, you said John Thorne?
Yeah.
Even the Hornswoggle-John Thorne match, that was quick and, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
It was, man, I'm telling you, and I know it sounds stupid, but Swoggle, Dylan
Postel.
Postel, that's it.
Yeah.
He's a good worker. That was fun watching him. I mean,
yeah,
biggest exposure to him was obviously his Hornswoggle, but then as a wrestler was the WLC match, if you remember that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was like my big exposure to him.
Yeah, because I've seen him a couple of times now at AIW, and the guy definitely finds a way to bring entertainment to his matches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously you're not going to get a chain wrestling clinic. You're not going to get Wisconsin Strong Style. But I'm trying to think of who he had an enjoyable match with. Tracy Smothers. When we went up to go see him the Gargano farewell evening, it was Tracy Smothers against Hornswoggle. And it was pretty entertaining, considering both of the people involved.
Yeah. I think that's fair to be surprised by that. So, and again, it's because of the exposure I had was, all right, well, he was Fit Finley's son, right? So,
oh. Yeah. Yeah, I still haven't watched it, but I did kind of want to see it. I believe it, the Sleepover Massacre, which was the weekend of WrestleMania there, that they did, it was Hornswoggle versus Big Papa Pump.
Oh my god. Wow, okay.
Hey.
How does that even work? Because Scott Steiner, no, he's not as big as he used to be. That's still a big man.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
That just sounds like almost death.
Yeah, well, and it was kind of funny. You kind of said it. I was kind of interested to see what your take was on the product just in general, because you hadn't seen it, and I knew that there were probably some elements that you wouldn't like. I guess I'd kind of forgotten about the distaste for, you know, hardcore/death matches.
I liked it when it was original to us.
Oh.
I mean, how many times, outside of laughing, that King of the Deathmatch tournament, how many times did we watch that? I mean,
oh,
it was fun,
right?
And that was crazy shit. But I don't know, man. I guess it's like as you get older and you realize how much these guys aren't getting paid to do this stuff. Like, you guys are fucking idiots, and
you're
just blatantly just hurting yourselves. Like, no rhyme or reason to anything. Just like blah, blah, whatever. So.
Yeah, I for the most part I agree. I do think that they work a little bit smarter these days, but I do feel like there were a couple of headshots that we saw that I'm just like, and I think that's more of it, is it's just like you kind of see what happened to some of the other people and you're like, why are you doing this, man? Like,
yeah.
You know that all these people either went crazy or have problems now from doing this shit. Don't. Like, the wrestling part is bad enough on its own.
And it's also, it's like, this is supposed to be gimmicks. Like, it's something Bret Hart said a long time ago. It's like, we're giving you the illusion of pain. And now it just worked its way into where it's always, you know, you're always getting hurt. I remember him, like, using the example of the chop. It's stupid. He's like, we're not supposed to be hurting each other.
Like, oh.
Okay, I mean, he's right. I mean,
yeah, now you know. Just see people after matches Instagramming the welts on their chest from these matches. Like, hey, look what happened. We did that chop fest. And it's just like, yeah, not really the smartest maneuver, man.
No. I don't know. Maybe I'm just grumpy about it, but I didn't really care for it. So, but, and I'm going to keep repeating this. I had a good time. Like,
yeah.
It won me over, and I like the tag. I like the tag matches, but it was just so weird seeing a regular ass tag match after all the goddamn chaos we've been seeing. The idea that Home Depot made $1,000 selling those door slabs, Jesus Christ! I mean,
yeah, that's another one that kind of keeps on killing me. Thorne was talking about that on the podcast about how they. Evidently, in New Jersey, they're like, it's cheaper to buy the doors than to buy the tables. And it's just like, I guess I've never really priced out what a table costs. But it is something that I can understand. If you're being budget conscious and it costs less to buy a door than it does to buy a table, go for it. It kind of cracks me up. It does, at least for me, set it apart. Like, evidently, they learned it in New Jersey for the sleepover massacre. Because I'm trying to remember, they were part of the collective, and I'm trying to remember kind of the main indie that was kind of heading it since they were actually in New Jersey. But the name is escaping me at the current moment.
I'm looking up how much a wood folding table is. Now, those door slabs are using about $40 each.
Oh, wow. I mean, whew, that is pretty cheap, though. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, just because there's metal involved, that it might be a little more expensive to get a table.
Lowe's. I looked on Lowe's in the first place, and I don't see anything for tables, but... Well, yeah, I mean, it was just funny because, like, Elise always gets annoyed when they go into the ring and they pull out a kendo stick, and I go, "You're exactly right. It's stupid. It's always stupid." The only guy that ever got around it was Sandman because he just brought one with him to ringside, and just incredible if you would give it to Jason.
Yeah.
Outside of that, it is idiotic. That's a metal trash can. When's the last time you've seen a metal trash can outside of wrestling?
Oh. You know?
So it's been quite some time. Because this place has death matches that, you know, having this stuff under the ring makes sense.
Yeah. Well, it was always one of those things, at least when Triple H first started using this sledgehammer, I'm like, come on, man. Some of this stuff you could at least argue, like, they might need a second announce desk or something, so you leave a table underneath there if the first one gets broken. The kendo stick there really isn't an excuse for. The chairs, you can at least say, oh, if someone breaks their chair out in the audience, you can replace it, I suppose. Like, there are a couple of items that you can slough off a little bit. But, yeah, kendo stick and sledgehammers are not in that category.
Yeah, especially if you've ever seen a ring get built, there is no sledgehammer involved.
Yeah.
A hammer, yes. A sledgehammer, no.
Well, the funny thing is, I don't think I've ever seen a kendo stick outside of professional wrestling. I'm not sure I've seen a kendo stick in kendo.
I was going to say, I don't think I've ever seen one in a movie.
Yeah, I, you can point me to the movie. I'm sure if Shahid's listening, he can point us to some movie that has a kendo stick in it.
You know what? Any one of the Hong Kong ones might. Okay, well, all right. From this country, never seen one. So, and remember when they used to be called Singapore Canes, by the way? Not kendo sticks?
Oh. Yeah, I do believe that Sandman brought a Singapore cane to the ring.
Is that really what it was? Okay.
Hey, that might be the last time I would imagine that the WWE's had some influence on getting that one to be called a kendo stick now.
Yeah. Well, just like, remember they started getting away from foreign objects? They were called international objects.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's some things that are just kind of silly.
People who don't understand what a dictionary is, they go look. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Foreign doesn't mean another nationality. But, no, man, I liked it. It was fun seeing some of the, like, people you missed, like, hadn't seen in a long time. One question I have is, whatever happened to Ricky Shane Page? Because that seems like a perfect match for him.
Him and John Thorne, I feel like, have had some type of falling out.
Okay, because I saw him backstage for TakeOver. I guess him and Gargano were friends.
Yeah, he would have been around during that first run. And, you know, that's kind of the funny thing. Like, he never really impressed me that much. And now I haven't seen him probably in a solid 5 years, if not 10. So maybe he's gotten better in the meantime. But, yeah, he was a guy that I'm just like, okay.
Like, he looks a lot healthier, that was for sure.
Oh.
Like, I guess he was probably really young back then, too, so.
Yeah, I would imagine that's another one where his age would be fairly shocking at this point.
Yeah, but no, I know we didn't, like, cover too many of the matches or anything, but it was just a solid, fun show. What was it, $12.99?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I mean, for $13, it was a good time. I mean, we paid $10 a month for the WWE Network, and most of the time people are doing nothing but bitching about it, you know?
Oh, yeah, and I'll tell you what, for that $10.99, or that $9.99, most of the times, you know, I'm mostly just watching the pay-per-views.
Yes.
You know,
I watch NXT in that, but
yeah,
I know what you're getting at.
Well, and that, and honestly, though, at least for me, like, that's the extent. Like, I haven't ever watched a round table or a table for three. It was pretty wild. Like, I guess I finally watched, I left that Kofi documentary of him going back to Ghana on after SummerSlam. That just kind of sucked me in. But I've watched / listened to precious little of that stuff. Like, even though I could probably pull that up at the office and listen to a table for three, I just don't.
See, that's what I usually do. I have it on so I can listen, because they'll play a video clip sometimes during it, but it's nothing you have to see.
Oh.
I mean, I get it. I get it without the video, so. But no, so if it's like for something that's $3 more, and yeah, I know, it's only one event, whatever, but it was still damn entertaining. And yeah, I mean, maybe we would feel differently if we had to sit through, like, the weird, like, stalling for time segment.
Oh.
But for us, the show went by quick, and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, what we did see, again, I felt like moved, so I'm not going to argue too much. And I don't think we fast-forward more than, like, 20 minutes of content or so.
I think, honestly, most of the stuff that we fast-forwarded was dead air. When they were stalling in between.
Oh.
I think that's... And then I think we just went so far, and we were like, nah, forget this. We didn't have problems with the fast-forward feature. So...
Right. Yeah, so I do think that in general, since we are wrapping up this one, that more reviews will come. Hopefully I'll have a few in person. I do want to get around, and I keep on trying to get organized enough to get some of these guys on the shows before they have them, just to kind of keep on doing the kayfabe interviews, because I enjoy those things quite a bit.
I think that's fun. I know some people think it's stupid, but I mean, with so many podcasts and so many other everything else, interviews, this, whatever. It's a lot more fun to like get the guy to be in character talking about stuff and then try to work in like something real. It's just, that's way more fun to me. So I've always liked that.
Yeah, so that's something that hopefully we'll do a little bit more in the future here. And yeah, I guess highly recommended for those of you that listen to the show, and you if you have a spare $13 some month. Again, they're not doing this on a monthly basis, like so it isn't like the WWE Network where it'll start piling up. Like, it's probably going to be like every, you know, they're probably going to have like four major shows that they'll probably end up broadcasting. So there's probably maybe two left of this year. So yeah, go ahead, tune in. I guess I'm at Defrango11. He's at Granny Maze. Brand's at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you happen to listen to us. I believe I will be recording an OPA tomorrow. We will find out. And I'll let Jeremy close things up.
Cool. So I'm going to pull a Chris and go deer in the headlights. Now, thanks for listening. I think Shahid and I are recording. We watched stuff Thursday as well. So we'll figure that one out. And, yeah, so that's it. Take care, and we'll get at you next time.